This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
You were out on Friday. We did Cheers with Beer Mug. Uh-huh. And Muggs was talking about how decriminalization has worked so well in Amsterdam. You know, it's worked well for that country. And I said, Muggs, Amsterdam's not a country. And he's like, I know that. I'm like, what country is it in? He said, Denmark. I said, nope. And it went on and on and on like that. And it just got me thinking about the things that we remember versus the things that we don't remember. And Muggs remembers next to nothing. And of course, you know, same. Me, I have no memory of most of my entire life.
Yeah, I think that's somehow related to your head-on collision at 15. I assume
I think so.
That probably
I think so.
Had a lot to do with it.
So I am not a guy with a great memory, that's for sure. And it's troubling for sure. But there's a story in the news about Sean McVay, the hunky coach of the Los Angeles Rams, who apparently has a superhuman ability to recall anything he has ever seen on a football field. He says this doesn't translate into like remembering all the reporters' names or anything like that. Doesn't help him at all in any of his other aspects of his life. It's only football. And a lot of it is that, you know, it's his job and he's really good at it. But he says it's just he spends his whole life looking at it and thinking at it, about it and replaying those things in his mind. So somebody can come up and go, hey, that 3rd and 5 in the third quarter in 2012. And he'll know what play you're talking about.
What?
It's a photographic memory of everything he's ever seen in football.
Photographic memory is cheating when it comes to remembering things. That's ridiculous.
I mean, I guess for your if that's your job, though, I mean, what would be better than that? Because every time a situation comes up during the game, you can remember the last 10 times you've done it and have a good guess. This might be a situation where you might give a player a ball to run instead of maybe throwing an interception in the last 30 seconds of a Super Bowl. As an example, if you had that sort of memory, it seems like it would be very helpful. So we thought it would be fun today, speaking of memory, we thought it would be fun to find out what things you have memorized. I used to know a girl who could knew all the states alphabetically, and she could just rattle it off without even thinking about it.
Super helpful.
In like 10 seconds, she could rattle off all the states. There are people who have memorized pi, the mathematical formula, to 100 digits, for instance. So we want to know, what have you memorized at 1-800-520-1067? People, people, Ali, you were suggesting, we talked about this off the air, there are people who probably have memorized super long poems or chapters of books, for instance.
Yeah, that's annoying. Whole chapter of a book?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you do with that?
Hey, you want to hear this
chapter?
Hey,
you want to hear again?
I bet there are people who have memorized large chunks of the Bible. Wouldn't you imagine?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Because they're into it, you know. So 1-800-520-1067. If you've memorized the periodic table, whatever it is that you've memorized, we want to hear from you and about your memory. And Kevin, you were telling us off here that there's actually some stuff that you've memorized, which surprised us.
No, it didn't surprise you. But this is more useful than weird non sequitur stuff. Mm-hmm. This is, I got so tired of having to go get my wallet to give somebody my credit card number. So I sat down and learned three different credit cards, driver's license, what else?
Social Security,
like all of that I can tell you, including month and date of expiration, a code,
give
all that
stuff. Give me one of the credit cards.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
But I can do like three of them, and then I have my driver's license, and I know that number, and I just get tired of having to go look for stuff. So I just sat down one day and I said, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to learn it.
Okay. That is super smart. I do that with my primary credit card as well for the exact same reason, because you don't want to have to go dig your wallet out when you're just trying to buy something
just
online.
One?
Right?
You just do one, though?
I just do one. I don't see the need to do more than one.
Well, sometimes they don't work.
Okay, all right. I hadn't factored that in. So, Kevin, this is interesting to me. So those are what, like 15-digit numbers, plus you've got to remember the little bonus numbers on the side, and then you've got to remember the expiration date. Okay, why do you have so much trouble with your email passwords then? They're like six letters.
Because they change all the time. Because then I forget, and then I do it again, and I do something that's super memorable, and then 1 minute later, I can't remember it.
All right. So credit card, that's something you can remember once.
It stays the same.
And not worry about
and
it.
And I don't have to change it. Yeah.
A couple of years. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bean.
Wow.
I don't think you've ever said that to me.
How about you, Allie? Do you have you memorized anything?
No. You know, I think song lyrics, I know almost every song lyric.
You do have a crazy encyclopedic yes.
Yeah. I know a lot of songs from when I was a kid.
Especially rap songs.
Yes, but even songs from like when I was a kid that I haven't listened to since I was a kid.
You would still be able to sing?
I will hear it and I know all the words and I'm like, why did this stay? And I had a camera guy at Channel 5 when I worked there that would say, you are a bastion of useless knowledge. Like my knowledge that no one should know, like things I memorized from TV shows from back in the day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not helpful.
So is any of it helpful?
None of it.
Well, although you do like knowing lyrics.
Sure.
Right? You can sing along or whatever.
I can sing along, Kevin.
Let's go to Jose, South LA, line 4, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about unusual things that you committed to memory for whatever reason. What say you, sir?
I've committed the preamble
to the Constitution?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of what other preamble you could be referring to.
I mean, that is really the only one.
Like, is there another one?
I don't know, but you just said the preamble as if it's assumed.
And you also put a question mark at the end of it.
We would enjoy very much hearing the preamble to the Constitution.
Okay. We the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for our common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity.
You're starting to slur. You all right?
You really are.
He's losing oxygen.
All right,
Jose, take it easy.
You are no founding father. Why do you know that?
I think it was like a school of rock.
School of Rock.
Back in the days.
Right. But weren't there a lot of those?
And I work in politics now. And
you work in politics.
And it helps a little bit.
I bet you're a dynamic politician.
No, not yet.
Right.
Okay. All right. Jose 2020, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. What have you memorized? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Jorge from Orange. I worked in a bank for 7 years and memorized my regular customers' account numbers and Social Security numbers.
Oh, no.
And since elementary school, I can sing the 50 U.S. states alphabetically. Again, don't know how that's helpful. At least the first one is helpful in your job, but we're talking about unusual things that you have memorized. And by the way, we do have a pie call on line one, but let's get to Janine first, line 7, calling us from Torrance. Janine, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, I have memorized the movie Young Frankenstein.
The entire movie?
Not just quotes?
Yeah, no, the whole thing. From beginning to end, if you get me started, I can, you know.
Did you sit down and try to make that happen, or is it just the way your brain works?
A little of both. I watched it a lot, yeah. And it's also kind of the way my brain works a little bit. So yeah.
Now, do you need to be watching the movie in order to kind of mouth along, or is it something you can do like now?
A little of both. I can definitely mouth along with the movie, and it, like I said, what do you need?
Well, let's hear a chunk.
You know, there's the part where he's when the monster goes into this is the first thing that comes to my head. When the monster goes into the blind man's house and he leaves because he burns himself and he yells, "I was going to make espresso."
Is that the only movie that you can do that with?
Yeah, that's the only movie.
Wow, that's strange.
Okay,
I actually wrote it all down once. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Janine.
All right. She didn't bring it, by the way. I didn't hear a lot of dial. I heard a line from a movie is all I heard. But I'm still going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Pretty judgmental.
Well, I'm just saying.
She wrote it down, for God's sake.
I was asking for a chunk.
Right.
All right. Let's go to my pie guy, John in L.A., line one. John,
why are you so excited about this, Bean?
Because this is the type of thing that I want to know why somebody would commit to memory. Because talk about something you will never, ever, ever use. John, why did you memorize pi to so many digits?
I was really bored overseas.
All right. And
it's going to take more than bored to get me to memorize that.
And explain to our listeners what pi is.
So pi is basically trying to come up with the circumference of a circle. It's goes on for forever. We don't know the end of it, but I know up to roughly about 35 if I don't mess myself up.
35. All right, go.
Let's hear it.
3.14159265935897932384663832793528888.
Oh, you messed up on number 28, dude. I'm sorry. You were so close. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, let's try Matt in Orange, line four, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about things you've memorized. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks.
What did you memorize?
Memorized all the books of the Bible in order. I had to do it because I'm a teacher, and I assigned 180 kids to memorize the books of the Bible.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Matt, because this annoys me. The only reason you did it is because you assigned it. What's the point of assigning that to students? Why do they need to know them in order?
I already knew it as a kid growing up, but I assigned it to them because we're doing a unit on the books of on the Bible.
Right.
And in religion class, you want to be able to flip to the pages quickly and effectively just so you could start reading the Bible on your own.
Oh, I got you. So if you say Mark, they know it's the second book in the New Testament, they can go right there. Okay, I got you.
Right.
That actually makes sense. We did not think you were going to come up with an answer for that one.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad I have an answer for the assignment. But
All right.
I was talking to my wife about it, letting her know I'm on hold, and she's actually way better at it than I am, so I'm going to pass it over to her.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow, they were all perfect for each other, aren't they?
They sure are.
Yeah, we are. Here she is.
All right.
Okay.
Guys, this is my first time on K-Rock. I'm pretty excited and a little bit nervous.
You need to get
okay? You
need to get away from Matt immediately.
You really do.
So, okay, here's the big question. You know, Old Testament or New Testament?
Yeah, we got to go King James Version.
I think we go old.
Yeah, let's do old, Matt's wife. Do you mind?
Oh, my name's Angela, but you can call me Matt's wife. I'm totally cool
with
that.
That's Angela, totally Old, right, Old Testament. Here we go.
Go.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Michael, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
What was the last one?
Malachi?
We call it Malachi.
Malachi?
Yes!
Yes! Awesome!
Angela, you are incredible. Thank you for the call, and thank you for being on K-Rock for your first time ever.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Jensen, what do we got going here?
Okay, this came up in a discussion amongst ourselves just the other day, that I think that we are in an era where there are no more Hollywood hunks, really.
Like, define what? Hollywood hunks.
Okay, dudes that are sold to be in a film, and you're supposed to go see it, or TV show, and you're supposed to go see it because they're sexy as hell.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think it
That's
really...
That's absurd.
No, I don't think it happens anymore, and I'm almost sure of it. There's a couple that are on the line nowadays, and we'll bring them up.
But what about when you see the world's sexiest man and stuff? That is all that is when it's Idris Elba like it was this
not
year.
Not a Hollywood hunk.
Absolutely
he's
a hot.
Hollywood hunk.
Idris Elba is not a Hollywood hunk.
Everybody who knows who he is thinks he's beautiful.
I'll say
to look
that
at.
He's close. He's getting there because people are like, oh, he'd be the sexiest ass Bond. Like, people will say that, and that gets him closer to Hollywood hunk status, but he is currently not in Hollywood
now,
hunk status.
Now, this doesn't mean that they're hot or not hot. This means they're sold.
Yeah,
this the is sex like, appeal of the cell.
Yeah, this is like in the 80s when we had Planet Hollywood and like three dudes would show up to the opening and everyone's like, oh yeah, Bruce Willis. And they would like and they would like move their crotch around. Like, I mean, like, you have to be a sex symbol in 2018. And also, I will say this. I think it's weird that we used to categorize people like this. And I think it's almost like we shouldn't be categorizing and tagging people, but let's do it for dudes. You know what I mean? Like, Megan Fox, those people, we kind of ruin their career. But I love people like Margot Robbie, who now can do everything and is very attractive.
It was very unfair what happened to Megan Fox, by the way.
It is.
It really was.
It is.
But before we move on, let me ask the ladies, because Christine is here.
Yes.
Chip is here.
They're not experts on this, just so you know, I am.
Okay. All right. Idris Elba, I still say Hollywood hunk.
I'd say so too.
Nope. You know, I see what Jensen's saying though, because to me, he's a serious actor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have ever called him a Hollywood hunk, even though he's hot.
Yes.
But I think of him as more of a serious actor.
Would you go to see a movie because he's hot?
No. Not a Hollywood hunk.
They're both a no.
Show them the proof.
I would go because he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Sure.
But...
Right.
By the way, that's
the
selling point.
It's a bonus. But
sure.
Not,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Oh, thanks, guys.
All right.
Just like that. Proof in the pudding.
What about, and here's another one that I'm going to stand by.
Yes.
It just occurred to me. Who is a Hollywood hunk?
Bean decides that he's going to throw out a name and stand by it all at once.
I do. Chris Hemsworth.
Hollywood hunk.
Total.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
For sure.
All right.
A very rare modern day Hollywood hunk.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that you did have some people in that category.
But
because
I will tell you, an evolution of a Hollywood hunk, because he started as sort of a chubby comedian. And then he moved into his world of having that buff cut Avengers slash whatever style. That's a Hollywood hunk. That's it.
Bradley Cooper.
Great question.
How is he? What?
Great question. I will say, Hollywood hunk at one point, no longer, and actively pushing himself away from the Hollywood hunk right now.
By the roles he takes?
Yes.
Chip, Christine?
Yeah, I would say so too. He's a great actor, and he's hot, but I wouldn't say hunk.
Oh. I still put him in the hunk category.
Christine, but Christine has a very wide category.
I do. I'm an equal opportunity employer, you guys.
Christine but is very
seriously.
Thirsty, you guys.
So you would see a movie, if Bradley Cooper's in it, you're like, I want to go see him because he is attractive to me.
It's the only reason I saw A Star Is Born.
Well, that's 50-50 then.
All right. Ryan Reynolds.
All right. Ryan Reynolds, Hollywood hunk.
Hollywood hunk.
A rare Hollywood hunk again in modern day films.
Okay.
But I will say, like, he is also teetering on comedy a bit right now, but he is currently still a Hollywood hunk.
Okay.
You mean
very
he
good.
Might have too much personality to be just a sex symbol? Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. Because I'll give you a controversial one.
Okay.
It's not currently a Hollywood hunk, but this person's not even a good actor.
Okay.
But in the early 2000s, Chad Michael Murray, Hollywood hunk. Get it going. Get it going. Hollywood hunk. Chad Michael Murray.
All right. I have a
I'm in
more.
On that one, by the way.
See,
so.
See Christine's in on all those.
Absolutely.
How about Keanu?
Keanu, at one point, Parenthood, Bill and Ted, Hollywood hunk. No longer a Hollywood hunk. You'll go see
John
Wick.
But he's better looking now than he was 20 years ago.
Listen, I don't make the decisions.
You do.
I make the judgments.
Oh, I see.
No, I don't make the decisions that lead to my judgments.
Oh, I see.
Like, for example, Keanu Reeves now, John Wick and stuff, you don't go see it because Keanu's sexy. You see it because he's cool and he's good looking. That's not a problem.
He's a good action star now.
That's questionable.
Tom Cruise.
Not a Hollywood hunk currently, but quite a career of in and out of Hollywood hunk.
Okay.
Risky Business, Hollywood hunk.
Tropic Thunder.
Hollywood hunk. but, you know, those kind of in and outs, but no, not currently right now.
Interesting.
No.
Hugh Jackman.
It's right on the line, guys, but I'm going to have to say Hollywood hunk mostly.
Okay.
But not really. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Totally.
He's a little too... He's a little too musical theater at times to be a Hollywood hunk.
That is the slice of the pie of Hugh Jackman that I'm not into.
See?
Wolverine.
Yeah. See,
I'm
Wolverine,
in.
Hollywood
100%.
Hunk. 100%.
So he's got one
Logan,
foot on
yeah.
each side of that one.
Yeah, he really plays the equator line in between the two.
Here's
he's
one that...
very sensitive.
Yes, he plays it good, but it's not fully there.
I have one that Bean hates
mm-hmm.
because his wife loves
okay.
Josh Holloway.
Not a Hollywood hunk.
Not even a star anymore.
Well, I did say Chad Michael Murray. But yeah, no, not a Hollywood hunk.
I love Chad.
Here's one that I think we should address. I do think 80s Bruce Willis, moonlighting, diehard Hollywood hunk.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I'll even say this.
But no longer?
Possibly still.
Really?
Possibly. Whoa. I don't think, but I mean, like, he's just a sexual being. You know what I mean? Like, you hear he's dating a 21-year-old, and you're like, yep, that makes sense. Like, he's just a hunk. He's a hunky one.
All right, I have one that I'm going to put in the James Dean category, fairly or not, because he died so young that I think he'll forever be considered a Hollywood hunk, and that's Paul Walker.
Yes, absolute Hollywood hunk. And not just because I'm not trying to, you know, ruin the dead. But I do think he's a Hollywood hunk because people were putting him in movies just because he was hunky.
Like, ladies, you agree? Paul Walker?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
How about Ben Affleck?
Great question. Ben Affleck was a Hollywood hunk for a very small amount of time during the J-Lo dating when he was, like, cut and ripped and on a yacht. But now that he has, like, a full dragon tattooed back and also, like, looks so down on his luck, is nowhere near Hollywood hunk status.
Okay.
Like, nowhere near. Like, actually kind of the opposite currently.
Dexter weighs in on the Kevin Bean Instagram. Ryan Gosling.
Absolute Hollywood hunk. And he's done it in such an impressive way because he's taken roles that are serious, like Lars and the Real Girl. He's shown up to set like 40 pounds overweight and they ask why. He says because his character would do it. That's not things a Hollywood hunk would do.
He's perfect.
But he is perfect and he's stuck with it and he's done well. But, you know, you got to go to classics also, like a Burt Reynolds. You know what I mean? That was a
in
Hollywood
the day,
hunk.
Sure.
Well, not now.
Paul
he's dead.
Newman, Robert Redford, all those guys. Gregory Peck.
Those are all that you... Well, Gregory Peck's questionable. But everyone else you just said is a Hollywood hunk as well.
Okay, but last question. Yeah. We're out of time.
Yeah.
DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls. Absolute Hollywood hunk. His skinny demeanor, everything he's got going on, his wiry voice. I mean, a sex symbol to the 10.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
K-R-O-Q.
I had an incident happen. This will shock you the other day. I was not in my house.
Oh.
Mm.
I was at a diner having a breakfast by myself. Like I do. I take a book, and I go, and I order my omelet, and I sit there, and I have the time of my life, and I love it. The table behind me had a couple, an older couple, sitting there, and one of the phones rang. So not only does the phone ring, which is disturbing, and by the way, I should say, because I think it does make a difference in this story, I'm not eating at a super fancy restaurant with, you know, cloth napkins and waiters and, you know, fancy and things like that, okay?
Those are the two things I think of when I think of fancy cloths and waiters.
I'm eating at a diner, okay? I'm eating at a diner. So it's the kind of place where you expect a certain amount of noise and, you know, maybe you let the kids get away with a little bit more noise. It's not stuffy. Okay.
Yeah, not a place with, like, forks.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, we're eating with our hands.
Cups. Okay. Right. There's no cups.
So the phone rings and I'm annoyed enough, and then the guy puts it on speakerphone.
Oh,
that's
dear.
Insane.
And then it's a pre-recorded credit card solicit call.
Ugh.
Hi, this is Rachel from Card Services. I'm calling to tell you how you can lower the interest rate on your credit card. If you'd like to hear more, press 1. Why is he playing that for the room?
So many things that a monster would do. Why would he even want to? This calls a solicitation. Hang up.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Ugh. So he goes, he hits 1, and then it asks some other question.
No,
I don't remember what it was.
No.
And then he hits another number. So now he's actively trying to get somebody on the phone. He's sitting, and by the way, I turn around to give him the stink eye.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need to, because the woman that he's with is horrified. She's sitting there across from him, seeing this guy put this display on. She's furious at him. She's like waving her arms around, going, stop, 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 stop. This guy's going through the menu.
May I ask his approximate age?
I think he and his lady were both in their 70s.
Oh, see... That changes it for me.
My phone just talks to me. He's like an older guy.
Oh, really? That's so interesting. Old people aren't required to have some sort of decency and etiquette?
I feel like a lot of times when you hear people on a speakerphone, it's older people that don't know they're on a speakerphone.
They don't know the etiquette?
Yeah.
They literally don't know
that it's on speakerphone because their hearing isn't quite there.
Yeah, recently on a plane, I sat next to someone in his late 20s.
Oh.
And that person talked on FaceTime out loud to someone for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, somewhere in between.
Good
just
Lord.
In FaceTime, no headphones or anything, then just watched a music video out loud on speaker
that's
after
awful.
That.
Yeah, I'm at least giving old people the old out.
Okay, so 20s, murder button. 70s, let's wait and hear more.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, so now he's navigated the menu, and now the lady picks up and says, hi, this is so-and-so, may I help you? And he says, you need to effing stop calling me.
Grampy.
And she says, well, I'm just calling to offer this this discount on your credit card. He's like, this is the third time you people have effing called me today.
Pop, pop.
And she's like, I don't think you need to talk to me like that, sir. Now, again, I'm close enough that I'm hearing both sides of this conversation, which I have no business being a part of. I don't think you need to speak with me that way, sir. And he says, listen to this. And then he screams practically,
what?
F you! And slams down the phone.
All right. He's bad, Chris.
Sort of my spirit animal, though.
And his lady is like, why are you doing that? Oh, my God, why? That was so wrong. That was so inappropriate. And everyone in the restaurant obviously has heard the whole thing. There's no way to have not heard it. It was so loud. And I guess what my question is, should I have done anything or said anything or just ignored it like it didn't happen and assumed that he had already gotten the message because the person he was with was embarrassed? Or is that the type of thing where you should, not me or anyone, should go up and say, hey, you know, for next time, maybe don't pick up that call, or maybe don't have it on speakerphone, or maybe just some sort of really, really, you don't have to be rude about it, but really, really uncool to subject all the diners in this restaurant to that that personal business.
Well, my main thing is I kind of give him a pass because it's relatable.
Yeah, he had it.
Do you know what
it.
I mean? He had it with this call.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he just took a phone call with his, like, sad little grandson.
Right.
I relate to him.
Because he was breaking down.
Exactly. Yeah. To telemarketing.
Right.
We all can relate to that.
Look,
God bless this old man.
No
and his
one
weird
have...
diner food.
Old man 2020.
Yeah. We already did that.
No one has more sympathy. Jensen, you don't know this about me, but I'm a robot who doesn't cry.
Yeah.
Except when I get into a loop with a telemarketer or any kind of a business that I have to call. Like if I need 35 minutes to get to whoever I want at DirecTV, I really will contemplate hanging myself. I get so sad and literally weep.
So
I have respect for what he's going through. I know how annoying telemarketers are.
Yeah.
But I have more respect for the sanctity of being able to have a quiet omelet and read a book.
Yeah. Mm.
So I didn't say anything, and I felt like that was the right call to not say anything. But I also feel like, am I a bad citizen for not at least pointing out to maybe help the next person avoid the situation that I was in? Should I have said something to the guy? It sounds like you guys are both saying, no, give him a pass.
What would you have said? Let's play it out.
I would have said, I know that was upsetting for you.
Where's my pancakes?
That's probably how it would have gone. All right, I made the right choice. Thanks.
These DJs are superstars. Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, Jensen.
Oh, hello.
Hey, Allie.
Oh, wow. Hey, Bean.
I was going to bong bong you and I got stopped.
Go ahead.
Okay. Bong bong.
Bong bong.
And to you as well, my friend.
Thank you.
What's going on in Arizona?
Well, here's the story. You know how when you drive by houses that are for sale and there's realtor signs and they have like a woman's name and a phone number in many cases?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't see that as like a way to get dates, would you?
Oh, no.
Certainly not.
No, you'd see it as a way to maybe buy a house.
Maybe buy a house. I believe that's what they're advertising.
Well, not for one perv.
It's not the back pages of LA Weekly. Come on.
Let's hope not. My mom is a realtor. listen, one total just jerk is a serial creeper calling and texting the female realtors that he sees on signs, pretending to want to purchase a house. So the conversation starts as easy as just being like, how many bedrooms are there? Where could I maybe, you know, see your shoes?
I'm sorry?
Well, that's the thing. It starts off with being like, how much is the house? And then slowly, he'll turn every conversation into something about the woman's feet.
Oh, no.
And by the way, he's been doing this for years.
Oh, no.
He's well known within the realtor community in Arizona as someone, you know, they're almost like, oh, the foot guy's back. Well, there had been so many complaints about this total skeeve that a news station in Arizona decided that they were going to investigate and find out who he is. So they teamed up with a realtor and set up a meeting where they would ambush him. Here's where they found him.
Valley realtors call him the foot fetish guy, and he's been creeping them out for years. We finally tracked him down outside a North Phoenix coffee shop Monday.
Hey, Anthony, it's Jason Berry with Arizona's Family. How come you keep contacting female realtors and saying you want to rub their feet? Why do you do that?
Okay, so what would... You walk out of a coffee place, you're holding your coffee.
Right.
You just had a meeting with a woman that you're excited to eventually see the arc of the bottom of her foot. And that man runs up to you with a microphone. How do you respond?
The question is, why do you do it? I think the answer, if you're being honest, most people, I think, would say, it's not me. I didn't do it.
Yeah, you would think that would probably be the way. Here's his answer.
What's up with this?
That's it. Which, also, he's not wrong. He has a slight point. What's up with this? You got a camera and a microphone. And so he, you know, he's got that real Chris Hansen vibe going. You know, would you like some sweet tea while I go get the laundry?
Right.
By the way, this reporter is so happy right now.
Thrilled. Everything is coming together for this reporter.
Yeah.
This is his eventual Peabody. He is the Woodward of our generation. He's found his deep throat. And so this is how it keeps going.
And he admits to contacting countless female Valley realtors through text and email, offering to rub their feet, asking about their high heels.
Don't you think you're harassing these women, these female realtors? I mean, don't you think it's harassment?
Yes.
So why do you keep doing it?
I don't know. I guess I apologize. I'm sorry.
That's a quick turnaround, is it not? Because immediately if they come up to you and they're like, oh, are you the one writing about feet? You'd be, number one, I think you might say you're not the person. Because there's no real way to prove it other than the fact that you just had a meeting with a woman and probably talked about her bunions. But beyond that, you could easily just be like, no, not me.
Right.
But instead, if you're just like, yeah, that's me. I love feet. Sorry about it. Is also kind of a cool way to go down. Now, another thing. They show a conversation on the show. They don't necessarily address it, but they show the realtor who set him up, they show her cell phone, like, over her shoulder. So you kind of see one of the conversations. And it starts with things like, you know, when was the last time that this house had an inspection?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it says that at the top of the text.
All right, very legit.
But then below it, it says, I give awesome foot rubs.
Oh, dear.
It turns so quick, because then the next one is, I'll pay you $40 an hour to give you a foot bath using lavender and essential oils. And you see these text messages from over her shoulders.
Let me ask a question here, Mr. Karp, and that is very creepy, very inappropriate.
Yeah.
Anything illegal about this?
Absolutely nothing. And that's the best part. Cops have been trying to figure out ways that they could stop him, but he's doing nothing illegal at all. All he says is when he gets caught that he promises to not do it again. And he also gives this little gem.
Have any of these women let you give them foot rubs before?
No.
But you keep trying?
Yes.
How come?
I'm stupid.
Oh my God.
I'm stupid. It's awesome. It's a great way of sort of getting caught for having a foot fetish. Like, why do you have it? And why are you harassing women? Don't know. I'm a moron.
Wow.
Also, if I ever got busted and I was up on for trial and the judge says, why'd you do it? I think I'm stupid is probably a good response.
Sure.
He also didn't give up there because he wanted a little bit of a postscript on the story. So he called the reporter when everything was done. And this is that.
Now, shortly after our confrontation with Anthony, he called me back to say he didn't realize he was creeping these women out and he never meant any harm. He said he was just feeling lonely.
Oh, well, now you had to make it sad, Jetsis. We were all having fun.
Now it's a Pixar movie.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. They're idiots.
You should have never trusted Hollywood. The most loneliest day of my life. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time.
Psycho groupie, cocaine crazy, psycho groupie, go.
The spider's all in
jail. Self-righteous suicide.
The toxicity of our city.
Wary of
All right, we're out of time. Thanks, Shavo. Appreciate you. one of the great rock and roll bands of all time. If you've enjoyed the music of System of a Down over the years, you've enjoyed the playing of Shavo Odadjian, the bass player for the group, who joins us on K-Rock right now.
Hey, so happy to be here.
It has been too long since we've had you on. I know there's a lot to catch up on. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with music stuff or do you want to start with weed stuff?
Anything you want to start. I mean,
let's
anywhere.
Start with music stuff.
Let's do
all
it.
All right. Has the fandom for System of a Down, how long have you guys been together now?
We started in 95, so it is at 23 years.
Okay. Has the
something
fandom,
like that,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Has the fandom wavered at all, or can you go out anytime and you know your people are going to show up?
They show up, man.
They do.
Yeah. We have a cool fan base, man. We're blessed. We're so lucky to be in this position, seriously, because we play a show and they come. And, you know, they actually want us to play more shows. They want an album, you know, and we just kind of haven't delivered that for a while.
You're going to give them an album.
Hopefully. Hopefully one day. I don't know where we're at with that. But, you know...
I'm almost afraid to ask you about that because I know how controversial it has been, because all of you have spoken out kind of in social media and interviews over the years, and it's just like...
Sort of separately.
Year after year, it just seems to get more complicated.
Because it's all... Okay, people respond to social media. That's where... Okay, it's getting complicated because of social media, because it's a he said, she said thing.
Yeah.
So everyone tries to like say their piece because of what they've read. So that's all it is. Nothing new. It's all... Anything you've read in the last 2 years, it's been around for the last 10 years. So it's just now coming out because social media is out there.
Let me just ask it in a general way.
Go for it.
Next 5-10 years.
You know,
what do you think?
If it was my way, it would be now. You know
right,
I mean?
Of course, yeah.
But I'm
it's
asking
not.
You
it takes
for
four to tango. So.
To guess about the whole band. Next 5-10 years or
I'm,
no?
I'm hoping.
Hoping, okay.
I'm hoping because, like I said, for me, we have so much material.
Right.
We've got material for like the last 10, 12 years, you know? We all write. So I personally have a lot. Darren has a lot. I know Serge got a lot. But I don't know if we're going to be doing it together. I don't know what's going on. Well, I'm hoping, I'm wishing, you know? Like, we still love each other. There's nothing... Like, no one's done anything wrong to each other.
No one's angry at
each
other.
No one's angry at each other. It's not like someone's done something to someone and they can't take it back.
You know
what I mean? Nothing like that's occurred. It's just... I think it's just an artistic... thing. And that's, you know,
I want to believe you, Shavo.
I want you to believe me too.
I do. No, I really do, because I think that would be so mature of you to be able to do that. But if honestly, if one or more members of the band are standing in the way of what everybody else wants to do, I don't know how there's not some bad blood, some animosity. I don't know how you get together and play a show and not think about it.
Well, listen, man, I personally do think about it always, and I can't speak for the rest of the guys. I do think about it, but I don't hold grudges. I can't do that. But it's hurtful because I really do want to play and I want to make music and I want to make a record, and I didn't join a band and didn't get famous to stop playing music.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah.
I want to play more music. But it is what it is, and we're going to roll through the punches.
You're
right now.
You're playing Saturday at
Glen
Helen.
We're playing Saturday. We'll do as many as we can, as many as everybody, the unit, wants to do together.
Right.
I can't force anybody on stage. I can't force anybody into a studio. I can't force anyone anywhere. So... And it won't be good for us either, you know?
Right, exactly.
Nothing is good for us. Everything has to come naturally and become what it is.
Kevin, do you have the tape from System at Acoustic Christmas?
Oh, it's my favorite.
Uh-oh.
2014. One of the reasons why we love your band and one of the reasons why no one replaces your band and you guys have to stay together forever is because of moments you give us like this. You have no idea what we're about to play.
No.
To
all right.
Okay.
Again, remember...
Set it up.
Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah. It really whipped people into a festive frenzy.
Oh, I got you.
I think so. I don't know. Let's hear.
I got you.
Let's hear.
You.
What's going on?
You tell us.
Is that a loop?
No.
No.
It was the whole chanting it with you.
That's
oh my
not
God.
A loop. That,
okay,
was, well, that all
I
happened.
I do not remember that moment.
Really? We remember it so well because I just remember I was sitting there watching it. I was like, this is awesome.
Well, I just kept thinking, what a beautiful
Darren,
tribute
man.
To the baby Jesus. That's what I kept thinking. Let me ask you this question that just occurred to me. So your dad... has a son in System of a Down. What's that like for him, and how receptive was he to the idea of you guys in this band from the beginning?
Oh, dude, he was like the most... He had my back from day one, him and my mom. Well, my mom wasn't day one. She was like day two. My mom was day one. I mean, sorry, my dad was day one. He wore the System windbreaker. He would come to every show.
Is that right?
He filmed the first show May 28, 1995 at the Roxy with his big-ass VHS. You know, you put
those giant
yeah, the giant
cameras.
Things,
yeah.
And I still have that video. He was sitting there recording.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's come to almost every show within 100-mile, well, 50-mile vicinity.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Now, he's proud of you because you're his boy, but what does he, as a, I assume, you know, 60-year-old man, what does he think of the music?
He actually likes it, I swear. They all like it. They like the music. There's, you know, our music does have melody in it.
It does, yeah.
So, I mean, they get it, you know, and it has the cool.
Now, you said your mom wasn't on day one. I can imagine most parents would think, well,
yeah,
I don't really want you to go into music.
Since my beard was really long back then, you know, and it wasn't the Armenian thing to do, you know, you know, she would got, you know, kind of bug on that, but it changed.
Yeah.
It changed.
Well, when you started buying them houses, I'm sure it changed a lot.
Now my dad, he still works. I mean, he won't quit. He won't stop. He's 69 years old, and he won't stop working. Anyways, so all his, like, workers are fans, so he's hooking them up with tickets.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just give him 10 tickets.
Very popular. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a popular dude. I love that.
Very.
I love that.
Yeah, which is really cool. He loves it, too.
Shavo, give our best to the boys, man.
Will
great
do.
To see you.
Will Thanks do. Thank you so by. Much for having me, guys.
The Kevin and Bean Show. It's cool. I'm guessing it's many things. Cool is probably the one thing it's not. It's not. The world famous K-Rock.
Guys, can't we just love both?
No. No, because there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer, and I can't work with that woman anymore.
What if both is the right answer?
That's not the right answer, though.
I believe you can love both. You're incorrect if you love Elf more.
Have you not seen Elf? Is that that's the only thing I can think of, maybe, is Allie, you haven't seen Elf.
Here's the thing. I've seen Elf. It is darling. I think Will Ferrell is adorable in it. Oh, I get it. You smiling's your favorite. That's great. I don't need to see it again. I saw it. I laughed. That was it. Christmas Vacation. I watch every single Christmas. Chip and I were talking about this. Every single Christmas, I look forward to this. And watching this with my family back when my grandfather was alive, seeing my grandpa with tears every single year, laughing like he's never heard these jokes
Bean
before.
Allie is cheating. She's right? using her dead grandpa.
Her dead grandpa.
Dead grandpa.
Dead grandpa.
How do you argue that? I'm saying.
That's BS.
It's just, it's one of those movies that you can watch over and over and over again because it is so damn funny.
Chip,
it's,
are you positive you want to wade into this?
Oh, totally. I'm on Team Allie.
Okay.
Bean's fake news.
Okay. But Elf, you guys.
Elf is great.
Elf is great.
Vacation is better.
No!
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you what you're forgetting.
Okay, along those lines, then.
You're forgetting that.
How do you step on the line?
I'm sorry,
Did
I don't remember
that?
It. I only watched it once.
That's
you
one
only,
for Elf.
Okay, here's
you
the thing.
You only watched it once. You have no business in this
what?
Conversation.
No, I've
then.
Probably seen it more than once, but who cares? Here's the thing. I then counter Cousin Eddie out cleaning out the, you know what?
Esser's full.
I mean, amazing. But Look. If you want to play a clip and you haven't seen this movie, this is when Clark Griswold thought he was getting this big bonus. Everything was
fine. He's going to put a pool in.
Going to put a pool in. Everything was going to be fine now.
Best Christmas
once
ever.
His bosses gave him this big bonus, so the family's all gathered around. He opens it up. It's for the Jelly of the Month Club, and he loses his S.
Hey, if any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people. And I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye. And I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, f***less, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey sh- He is! Hallelujah! Holy sh**! Where's the Tylenol?
I mean, there's a cat that's wrapped up in wrapping paper. There's a squirrel in the Christmas tree. There's grandma. There is so
I'm
much.
Not saying, the I'm Christmas not saying.
He spent
not
hours on Christmas lights and he goes a big reveal to show the family and then nothing works.
Nothing.
I'm not saying it's not a good movie. I'm not saying Chevy Chase isn't brilliant in it, but I've got Bob Newhart. I've got Ed Asner. I've got Zooey Deschanel, who's never been more adorable in Elf. James Caan is tremendous as Buddy the Elf's dad. Will Ferrell, it's the greatest performance Will Ferrell has ever given, first of all.
Oh, take it easy.
Peter Dinklage is great in it. Amy Sedaris is great in it. I mean, it's just chock full of scene after scene. And by the way, because you girls are over there in Wrongville, how about Christine, who comes in to weigh in on Team Elf? Christine, what's up?
Mother effing Elf.
Right?
That's it. It's the greatest Christmas movie of all time. It's so good.
Yeah, no.
Nah.
I mean, can't they both be good, you guys?
They can't.
They can be good.
Are.
But okay. One is better, and it's obviously Christmas Vacation.
And I will say this. A Christmas Story is better than Elf. So suck it.
I don't know about that.
Why would you even bring in random third
don't
movie?
Don't get me started on Scrooge.
By the way, a lot of Scrooge love yesterday. All right, let me play my one clip then, because we heard from Chevy Chase and National Lampoon's. This is Will Ferrell, who, by the way, was raised with elves at the North Pole, so he knows Santa, and he goes up to the department store Santa and reveals him for the fraud that he is.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay.
So it's decided then,
it's
Elf, right?
Absolutely. Christmas Vacation.
So Elf or Christmas Vacation?
Elf.
You can love both, but the correct answer will always be Christmas Vacation.
Do you want to be on Bean's side? That's
right?
All I'm saying.
I mean, that's chip. A good argument. Elf.
I really don't like any of them.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
How can you say that, bro? So maybe they're not politically correct, but it's funny.
K-Rock.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have my own music.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
The royal family is bulls.
Very different.
That's my music.
Mine was God Save the Queen, though.
Ah. Guy by the name of Raul, who listens to our show a lot, sent me a tweet that showed me a headline from the Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
Saying Prince Charles has his shoelaces pressed every morning.
No.
Yes. So then that leads you to a documentary that's on Amazon Prime called Serving the Royals. Here's the thing. This documentary talks to a royal servant who's been in the palace for 21 years.
Oof. In a place like no other, with a boss like no other, it's a job like no other. Royal servant.
Royal servant. And then they talk about this guy.
Nobody knows the risks and rewards of getting close to the royals better than former palace butler, Paul Burrell. Burrell spent 21 years with his royal masters. From Her Majesty's personal footman to butler to the Princess of Wales, Burrell did and saw it all.
First of all, I don't know what a footman is.
I'm not sure either, but I want more info.
This is what he had to say about it.
Every day, from the moment she woke up to the moment she went to bed, I was with her.
All right, so that's, he knows a lot, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about the queen here or the princess?
Yes, the queen, first of all. She gets up, they bring her breakfast in bed, they open her curtains, they turn on the radio so she can listen to BBC News.
Then it's time to run exactly 7 inches of water into the royal tub.
Exactly
7 inches?
Lady likes it the way she likes it.
8 inches, you're gone.
Right?
I bet they fired a lot of people for that mistake.
Yeah, probably. I don't doubt it. All right, here's the next part.
They test the water with a wooden encased thermometer, and it has to be comparatively cool.
They test it with a thermometer before the royal queen is able to enter her restroom.
She likes a cool bath.
She does.
Yeah.
Odd.
Yes.
I mean, it's working for her. She's 90-something years old, right?
There are strict rules for everything.
Staff weren't allowed to walk down the center of the carpets because, of course, we'd wear them out. The center of the carpet was restricted for the royal family.
Okay. All right.
These carpets are hundreds of years old, and they're...
Listen to me!
There is an actual reason for this, is you want to keep the foot traffic off.
Well, then the royals should stay off of it.
But they don't walk down nearly as much as the staff that are going back and forth 50 times a day. You don't want to wear out those carpets. They're treasured pieces of the palace.
I'm sorry. You don't want to wear out the carpet because they're treasured pieces of the palace.
That's what I said.
Let's talk about the queen's three corgis, her dogs, and what a nightmare they are.
One of the biggest challenges for any of the queen's staff is coping with her closest companions.
They are universally loathed because...
They're universally loathed! because...
These corgis are not fully house-trained, so the footman and the housemaids have to go around with a supply of soda water and blotting paper because the corgis do whatever corgis want to do wherever they want to do it, and over priceless carpets and furniture.
Okay,
Bean. Back to the carpets!
Bean, I would like to revisit the last statement that you said, which is that servants can't walk on the carpet because it's history and it's important.
Mm-hmm.
She lets her dogs crap all over it.
But not
there's
the
no
center.
Excuse for
not
there's
the
no excuse no excuse for not house training your dogs. By
yeah.
the way. But you will be happy to know, Kevin, since this documentary was filmed, that the last of those corgis are dead now.
So yes,
well, thank God.
She doesn't have any dogs anymore.
So now he moves on from the Queen to Charles and Diana.
After 9 years of outstanding service to the monarch, footman Burl was promoted to butler to Charles and Diana. The Prince of Wales' household is lavish, and he's famously difficult to please.
All right, so the Prince of Wales, of course, is Charles, who's next in line, correct?
That is correct,
because
yes.
of way, who his mom is, correct?
That's how royal succession
right.
works. But I will tell you, Charles is a dick.
Right.
And has no reason to be picky, I'll tell you. He's lucky to be where he is.
That's my point. And how
well,
is he next? If you were to take a look at everybody in England and go, who's the best qualified for this?
Oh, no.
He would
first,
be at the very bottom.
He was born
to the royal blood, which they believe
yes.
makes them better than everybody. And it's nonsense. Now let's go through Prince Charles and his nightmarish behavior.
The Prince of Wales has grown up in such a privileged lifestyle that he doesn't have mechanics to choose for himself anymore.
So that's good that he's going to be king.
Everything he's done for him, his pajamas are pressed every morning so that they don't have creases in them for the next day.
That's important.
The royal family is balls!
Every day. Okay, next.
His shoelaces are pressed flat with an iron. His underwear...
His shoelaces are pressed flat with an iron every morning. That's someone's job. Take his shoelaces, mm-hmm. put them out, and make sure that they don't have any creases in them.
I've never even noticed creases in my shoelaces.
The royal family is balls!
That was the headline that caught my eye, by the way, is
yeah.
that he gets his shoelaces.
I want to hear about his undies.
Ironed every day.
His underwear is folded in a certain way. The bath towel has to be placed in a certain fashion. The bath plug has to be in a certain position.
The bath plug has to be
took a turn.
In a certain position.
Well, there's
what's
just,
happening there, B?
There's just anarchy if you start putting the bath plug anywhere willy-nilly.
The water temperature has to be just tepid and only half full. Prince Charles does have his valet squeeze.
Okay, this is really good. When he says valets, I think he means valets, which means...
No, he means valet.
What does that mean then?
It's the guy who dresses him.
Okay, the guy who dresses him has mm-hmm. to do this.
Squeeze 1 inch of toothpaste onto his toothbrush every morning. If anyone gets anything wrong, everybody is scolded.
He has to go into the bathroom, open up the toothpaste,
yeah.
put it on his toothbrush,
yeah.
and leave his toothbrush with the toothpaste on
uh-huh.
so that when Charles comes to the restroom...
Right.
He can brush his teeth
sure.
without having to put, without all of the mess of having to put that toothpaste on
work.
The toothbrush.
A lot
but
of work.
Why is, why is the future King of England brushing his own teeth is my question. Why don't they have somebody to do that job for him?
The royal family is balls.
And here's maybe my favorite story.
On one occasion, he rang me from his library and he said, Paul, a letter from the Queen seems to have fallen into my waste paper bin. Would you pick it out? He was sat there.
Okay, now he shows that he's sitting right next to the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where the letter from the Queen fell into. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't even have to get out of his chair to reach it.
I had to bend down into the paper bin and pick out the letter, put it back on his desk. It was beneath him to stoop and forage through his own waste paper bin.
Thoughts? Thoughts, Defender?
Here's my thoughts. The guy who did this interview has been executed by now. Right?
He's with the dogs.
He's with the
probably
corgis right
the
now?
By the dogs.
The
yeah.
royal family is bulls!
It's my favorite part of the show when they have the crazies on.
I know. I feel so guilty for laughing, but it is so funny.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hiss.
great news!
I thought we discussed Allie going first.
We did. We're all just sitting here looking at her.
One of you says, here's what we do every Monday.
Every Monday we give you great news. Here's Allie.
You know, you can that too.
What's she looking for, Bean?
I'm not sure.
We have to start doing things to just make us look like we've got our act together here, because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
That's our bad.
Yeah. That guy's right.
That's my bad. I just thought one of you would say, this is what we do every Monday. There's such bad news, but this is great news, and we hope to lift your spirits just a smidge.
And now, here's Allie with great news.
Well, it's only September. We're a ways away from, you know, winter and Christmas, but not so in one Ohio neighborhood, because they have already decorated for Christmas. Several homes in this neighborhood already have Christmas lights up, wreaths on the door, but it's all for a very good reason.
More than one house?
Yes.
Wow.
This is all to bring holiday cheer to a two-year-old little boy named Brody Allen. He has a rare type of brain cancer and may just have weeks to live.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We were all having a good holiday time here, Allie.
He was diagnosed with cancer in May of this year. They thought he had an inner ear infection. We could stop the music.
Less than that.
Yeah. It turns out he had a tumor and the chemo isn't helping. It's a really sad situation. I hate that you're laughing so hard. I hate that Bean is doing that with the music.
I'm also laughing because I chose this story and then I said, well, you know what? Too sad. I'm not going to do it.
So wait, I feel like we're off track. So the little kid is super sick and they decorated for Christmas.
Yes.
Why?
Here's the reason why. When Brody's chemo treatment journey ended, they made a promise to make each day a little bit better than the next. And they want to do anything that they could to bring him as much joy and happiness they could.
Stop playing
because he only had a short time left. And he loves Christmas. That was one of his favorite things. God damn it.
It's a nice story. Okay, so they decorated for Christmas. This is like, hey, I'm not going to be alive for the Star Wars movie. Show it to me early. It's one of those deals.
Sure, sure. So the family had an idea to celebrate Christmas early. They put it out on Facebook, and people started stopping by with decorations.
Oh, that's awesome.
They decorated the house for him. They have a tree. A guy named Ryan, who does the Cincinnati Christmas lights, just keeps showing up with a bunch more stuff. But now the whole neighborhood has joined in as well. So there are houses upon houses that are all decorated. And his mom says that every day he wakes up, he has Christmas lights outside, the tree inside, and he wakes up so happy, he's just ecstatic. So here's the quote that I thought was just lovely. I think Christmas is more than just lights. It's a feeling. And for everybody, the Christmas spirit kind of came early this year, and it's spreading to everybody, even our neighbors. So they're making the best of a horrible situation and trying to make every last minute of this little guy's life better. And I hate both of you so much.
It's a sweet story, but this music is driving me crazy.
My great news.
Mine is high school custodian Carolyn Collins was about to take out the trash one early morning. It was dark and she heard a loud knock on the cafeteria door. She looked out and there were two students, a boy and a girl, who were looking at her nervously. They said, can we please... Nope. Didn't have anything to do with Christmas.
Okay. We love Christmas.
Can we please come in? Asked the boy, even though school didn't start for a couple of hours.
Oh.
They lived with their mom in their car, and she dropped them off early so that they could get ready for school using the shower there in the bathrooms and stuff.
Oh.
And they were waiting outside, so they knocked on the door and they said, can we come in? Is it all right? She realized they were hungry and that they had they were homeless and that they needed more help than just showers. So she got them some food. And then she went to the principal. And this is what I think is amazing, because, again, this is a high school custodian.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get paid a tremendous amount.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She went to them and she said, I need a space, a relatively big space, where I can keep supplies for homeless children. And then she went to the dollar store and she spent $200 on socks and toothbrushes and all kinds of different stuff. If you're homeless, she had clothes. There was even a couple of things, couple prom dresses in there. And this was her closet of kindness, she said.
Aww.
And if somebody needed something, they knew. She said there were about 10 to 15% of the kids at any point are homeless at that school. So it's a huge issue. But they didn't have to make a big deal out of it. They would just go whisper to her, mm-hmm. and she would take them in. She would open the closet, and they could take anything that they wanted and just move on with their lives.
What
How
a
sweet
woman.
Is that?
Yeah.
So sweet.
Were the kids living in an SUV or a sedan, does it say?
It doesn't give the make and model, Bean.
Okay, because it's just so much roomier in an SUV, I was just wondering.
When I tell them I love you and I see the smiles on their faces, that's pure joy, she said. Everybody needs somebody. Seeing that they know that they are loved is my reward.
Oh,
How
I love
sweet
her.
Is she?
Well, I hope there is there a way to then donate to this kindness closet?
I don't see it in the story, but I'll look for it.
Yeah.
I'll look for that. That's a good idea.
I think that would be something that people would be very willing to do.
And that's my great news.
And we'll close with this story of a young man from Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I can't wait to crap on it.
He is a high school junior. His name is Rami Zaini. He was walking home from school on Wednesday when he came across a purse in the middle of the road. He opened it to look for identification and found $10,000 in cash.
Oh, my.
By the way, what kind of a drug runner lost this purse? Who walks around with 10 grand right? in cash? He spoke to his parents and then took the purse to the Santa Barbara County Sheriff. What a great example of doing the right thing even when no one is watching, said the Sheriff's Department on Friday night. Deputies were able to contact the woman who owns the purse because, of course, her ID, everything was intact in there. What's the appropriate tip, reward, for $10,000 being returned to you intact, by the way?
I mean, if you... Boy, I would think a decent amount. I would think 10%.
You'd give 1,000.
I think so, because you wouldn't have had the other 9,000.
And 99 out of 100 people who found your 10 grand
right.
would keep your 10 grand.
And I wouldn't have any of it. So
how about you, Allie? What do you think the tip is?
I'd give it at least 500.
$100 is the reward that she gave.
Uh-huh.
And I know this young man would probably say, oh, doing the right thing is what matters, but bitch, pay me, right?
I don't think $100 that's how the story ends, no.
Sheriff spokesman says that the woman must have forgotten her purse on the roof of her car and drove away. I figured this is the right thing to do, he said, if I take it and find whoever's purse it was, because if the roles were reversed and I had lost something with a significant sum of money inside, I know that I would want it back for sure, said Mr. Zaney. So I think the chances of that happening are pretty darn low with that kind of money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that it's better than we think, though. I hope more people would have done this.
Yeah. Well, anyway, very impressive, this young junior there in Santa Barbara. And that is my great news.
Gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, I've never heard a bigger crock of bull crap in my life.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Now, who was surprised when the great legend, Louis Anderson, stepped into the Kevin Bean studio, sat down, put on his headphones, and said, ooh, Limp Bizkit. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. That well, you know, great. I listen. Yeah.
So, Louis, God bless you for coming in, first
Thank
of all.
You.
You don't know what a huge room of fans you're sitting among right now. This is such an honor for us, and I'm not even kidding.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, radio, I don't have to suck up. I already have a job. So, but radio is how comics start, and radio is how you reach people. Still, otherwise, you guys wouldn't be getting all that money you get. And it's true though. And this is still the main social media of comedy. You know, you can see it somewhere posted, but when you hear the person on the radio, it's a connection. It's a connection with the local hosts. And the people, you know, you grow up.
That's
true. I mean, you're going to work every day. You become part of people's families. And so we couldn't get on TV when we started, but we could get on radio.
Yeah.
And then you built that thing, and then you never forget it because it's, you know, you want people to come in the show. And even though I don't care how famous you are, if they don't know you're in town, they aren't coming to see you.
Sure. Yeah.
Jensen, let's share a little bit with Louis the conversation we were having right before he walked in, because I know that this is kind of a big deal for you,
yeah,
particularly today.
I was a nerd kid who would watch stand-up specials all the time. It was like my main source of entertainment, and watching your specials were such a big deal for me growing up.
Wow.
And you being able to deal with tragedy and so many things that came into your life with humor for a lot of my friends in comedy, huge inspiration for us. Was it always something that you wanted to do, to tackle like huge personal subjects through stand-up?
You know, I just wasn't any good at writing jokes, so...
Well, that's
I
not just, true one.
Well, but I mean, need to be real for me. I was a fat kid, So the first joke I wrote is, I can't stay long. I'm in between meals.
And that still kills.
You know, the joke still works.
And you did that on Carson, right?
That was my first Carson joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then my dad never hit us. He carried a gun. You know? He never shot us. You know? He just would... Very effective. You know, I tried to convey my dad was, you know, a tough guy. It was hard to deal with a lot. But I wanted to make him human also because he was a human. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of good things about my dad.
So you take your life and you just try to figure out ways to make it funny but still real.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my mom, you know, first words out of her mouth at a restaurant, can we get some extra butter? All right, man, but let us seat your party first. Huh? So... I think that, you know, I didn't know I was influencing anyone, which is the amazing thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just doing these acts. I remember working really hard on my very first special. I couldn't sell it. Showtime didn't want it. HBO didn't want it. Nobody wanted it. I went to the local PBS station. I was popular in Minnesota. I said, why don't you guys film it? And you can sell it as a promo to raise money because I was popular in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So we shot it for $17,000. We shot at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. It's called Mom, Louie's Looking at Me. Mm-hmm. And we raised $50,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Then sold it to Showtime.
That's the one I remember, yeah.
Yes. And on Showtime, it was a big hit. And that was it. You know, we had to, you know, I'm telling you, people put in a lot of work to get where they're going. But you never know. Like, I appreciate what you're saying, but I never knew that you were sitting there. You don't get that until later in life. Yeah.
You just celebrated your 40th anniversary as a live stand-up comedian. And you say you're having the most fun you've ever had. How
most
come?
Fun.
Because we have a lot of comedians in, not to interrupt, sir, but we have a lot of comedians in who are just like, I just got to do it. I mean, this is my job, and I'm stuck with it at this point. You know what I mean?
I would have quit it, because I can't do it if I'm just doing it like that.
Really?
If I'm not 100% connected, I couldn't do it. Because I'm there. Like, I do a whole thing before I do the show. I do a mantra. You know, you're the greatest. Don't forget that. Don't forget God. Hey, God, make me as great as I can possibly be. I'm looking for the perfect show. I'm trying to do better.
You do that before every single show?
Every single show.
No kidding.
And then I go, give me some water. no, but I mean, I do prayers right after the show. I do thanks and gratitude and prayers. Because, you know, I was, you know, early in my career, I was a little full of myself at times. And I lost my way a few times. I'd mail it in. I wasn't doing the show. But now I'm 1,000% present in the show.
And you're grateful every day. What changed?
Yes. Well, losing people in my life, that changed. Mm. But losing, you know, you aren't famous forever. So you have dips in, luckily... They're good things. You have peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. And when you sit in a valley long enough, you get moss grows on you. And you get lost. You lose yourself. But then stand-up always kept me going. When I couldn't get a job on TV, I was in Vegas working. Mm-hmm. You know, 3 million people to see your billboard every weekend. So
how many years have you worked in Vegas?
Since 1984.
Wow.
I went from The Tonight Show on November 20th, 1984, to The Comedy Store... At the Dunes Hotel, November 21st, with Sam Kennison, Louis Anderson, Jim Carrey, Blake Clark, Harry Basil. We did a 5-show at the Dunes Hotel, the Comedy Store at the Dunes Hotel. I worked there 1 week. The next week, I got the job across the street at Bally's opening for the Commodores.
Yeah.
So, what's it like to open for musicians? Because I feel like the crowd sort of...
They're there to see Brick House.
Is ready to see Brick House, right?
Brick House! And I would come out.
What's the response?
And I would go, do you like butter? What's this one-size-fits-all stuff? you know, I would come out, but I was, you know, I had a completely clean act, mm-hmm. so they could put me in front of anyone else, because the band really doesn't want another band to tear down the band thing for their, then.
But you say that, but 99.9% of acts that go out on the road, Louis, have another musical band.
That's just because the music company makes them. I don't think they'd do it if there wasn't
something.
You think
they would still have comedians?
Oh, interesting.
Or some other type of...
Metallica, the other night in Vegas, Jim Brewer.
How about that?
I didn't know.
Right, really interesting way.
Old here, you guys.
Right, so... you know, it all depends on the act, but I think it's a mostly an economics thing where they get the act, they go, listen, you know, their agency or their music label says, hey, will you put, you know, Limp Bizkit on?
That's the label I want to be on right now.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
We've all seen great acts on before great acts. Mm-hmm. And when you're a comedian, and I wasn't famous at the time, So I would go, and that got me more fans. But, you know, I did 20 minutes. That's all they want. That's all you want before you. Right. I don't want somebody doing an hour and a half tribute to try to go, I'm going to kill Limp Bizkit. I'm going to destroy them. Nobody's going to even want to stay for Limp Bizkit. You know?
I love Louis' tough guy voice.
Yeah, do you, huh?
We have to take a break. I'm so sorry. We're so enraptured in this conversation. Right, well,
nice.
Look at the time. Louis Anderson is here. We're not done yet. We're coming back with more. When we come back, Allie's going to cry because we're going to talk about baskets and more.
And
Louis Anderson.
His book. I can't. I haven't even started on the Dear Dad. I can't.
Okay, just, right after this. Okay, K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
He is not only a legendary stand-up comedian, he is a three-time Emmy Award winner, ladies and gentlemen. Louis Anderson in the studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Allie, what did you say right before Louis walked in the room?
I said, I don't want to cry, but honestly, baskets...
You said Christine is coming in.
That show moved me in a way that I every single year, I'm like, how do they top it? And every single year, especially your role as Christine Baskets, it's such a passive-aggressive, quietly optimistic, really loud, really feisty and sassy. It's all these layers, and I feel like Christine Baskets reinvents herself every season. And I don't know how you do it, and she's perfect, and you're perfect at it.
Ah. I'm going to go.
Is that enough?
It won't get better than that.
It won't get better than
no.
that. And, it's something I can't explain. I wish I could. I go in there. I put the clothes on. And then I get the makeup on. Yeah. I get the wig on. And then I leave Louis Anderson in the trailer. And I leave that trailer as Christine Baskets.
And I imagine it gave you kind of a newfound respect for your mom.
Oh, my God. They gave me everything.
Yeah.
Like that, I just said, I just went, oh, my God, my mom. Like, I never knew my mom got up and got ready to make us breakfast, to be presentable.
You just don't think about that.
You don't think about that stuff. Or I didn't know how much she stood in between my dad and us and protected us. I didn't know any of that stuff. I did not know. And honestly, I play the part as real as I possibly can. And I actually felt responsible for the kid, for Chip. And Dale. I feel responsible for them.
Wow.
And Martha. I feel responsible for all these people.
Oh, Martha's magic.
Yeah. So I feel so responsible that when I'm mad, I'm mad. And when I'm happy, I'm happy. And when I'm hopeful, I'm hopeful.
You're literally their mom.
I'm literally their mom.
Oh, wow.
Did Zach have you in mind for this role, or did he see a bunch of other people for it?
He wanted a British woman named Brenda something or other. I should call her and thank her for not being available. And then he said, I'm looking for a voice. And he made this sound, for my mom's character. And somebody said, Louis Anderson? That sounds like Louis Anderson. He goes, yeah. He goes, should we call him? Yeah. And they called me. And I said,
wow.
Who is this? How'd you get this number? No, and then I said, yes, I'd love to. Because, you know,
I've
do my mom's voice
before.
And my act.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do, you know, I do her voice. I do a different voice for Christine. It isn't my voice. I'm telling you, some kind of.
It takes over you.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
You know about that. Right?
Voodoo?
He's down
sure.
Lure.
Yeah,
oh,
Bean does.
Yeah.
New Orleans a lot, yeah.
Yeah, Bean does.
Bean.
Yeah, Voodoo,
so,
very popular
here. So the some kind of transformation honestly takes place. I don't let people call me Louie on the set.
You don't?
No.
You must have an entire new fan base from people who may not even have been familiar with your comedy, who just know you from that show, I bet.
Yes. I mean, you know, you have, like, they're like... You know, they're like you are.
Yeah.
They're
young and beautiful.
Yeah. You could play Christine's niece.
Oh, please let
don't
me.
Don't even say
please
that
let
out
me.
Loud. Unless you mean
hey,
it,
why
don't say
you,
it.
Why don't you send a resume and sub? We'll send it right to the
no.
casting person.
No,
don't.
Just,
why
could be Martha's friend. Oh, my God.
Oh,
speaking
totally
of voodoo, this is going to turn into a thing where she just prays every night.
No, but you really would be great. You really, Christine would say to you, hey, kid, where'd you get that hat?
Christine should have seen yesterday's hat.
Yesterday's hat was a lot.
Yes.
It was
a little worse.
It was a lot.
Louis, tell us something we don't know about Zach Galifianakis, because we're all huge fans of his and have been forever as a comedian and as an actor.
And he comes in and we still don't know.
Yeah. And that he and Martha were friends for 20 years, and he wanted her to do the show, and she did not want to screw it up, and he really had to... convince her to be on this show. She's such a lovely person. She just was afraid she wouldn't do well. And he is as cruel as he can be to Martha. right. on the show.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, because
on the show.
Even in between. Yeah. Like we'll do a take and he'll go, "Ugh, you screwed that up." And Martha will panic for a second. They have a great relationship. She's a great person. You wouldn't know that. And you wouldn't know that Zach sits and talks with everybody, you know, the extras, the people that do it, and that he'll hate I'm telling all this stuff. And that on Friday nights he gets a truck, you know.
Yeah, food truck.
A food truck, a special stuff that mm-hmm. he pays for. Mm-hmm. And that is the extra treat because people are working late.
Yeah.
And so you
mm-hmm.
look forward to that truck, you know, barbecue, you know, lasagna, whatever the truck is, you know, yeah. I'm right
there. He's that
guy. Your first
I'm right there.
No, but he's that guy. And also, he's the greatest human being. Like, he does a lot of stuff on, he doesn't tell you about it, but he does lots of charity stuff.
Yeah.
And, but he never calls me, huh?
I wonder why that is.
Anyways, that doesn't matter.
Louis,
you do a show? What is your show?
I do Drop the Mic.
That's the show.
And you haven't done it, but
no,
it is something we have asked you to do in the past.
Yes, I know, but but only if Zach will do it with me.
Oh,
that
awesome.
Would be good for right before basket.
Listen.
Martha, Zach, and I.
Yes.
We'll go against Zach.
I would love
he's
this.
So cruel.
Oh,
that
Martha
would be amazing.
As the
Again.
Hype woman.
Again.
That would be
because
cool.
she's
oh,
the...
she would be so good.
Oh,
I am.
Or
I
if you would have not spoken so fast, you could have become the
right.
Dang it.
Louis Anderson comes into the Kevin and Bean show and just offers gigs and figures out ways that we can monopolize on his life. And I love that.
I love that, too.
Yeah.
Louis, what did it, if you could put into words for me, obviously you've had a long, successful career, but what did it feel like to stand on the stage and win the Primetime Emmy for your role on Baskets?
You know, I just loved it because when they announced my name, I went, ha! You know, because I love the Simpsons.
Yes,
I said,
because
that's
Nelson.
How you feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you feel when you win. Ha ha. I'm sorry, but I got it. And then when I got up, I raised the Emmy up and I said, "We did it, Mom."
Yeah.
I gave her
that
the
was beautiful. Wonderful. You know, we cried. We cried when we saw that.
Thanks.
Let's squeeze in one phone call. It's Dee Dee from Los Angeles. Good morning,
Dee Dee.
Hi.
Hi, I just really wanted to say I read your book. I dressed up like Martha for Halloween. Like, I really appreciate you as Christine. It's just, I love it. Her kids screw up, and she still loves them, and she's still there and appreciates them. Just, I am in such agreement with Allie that I cry every time I watch Baskets because it's such a wonderful portrayal of a family.
Yep.
Because you love each other, you hate each other, but ultimately the love's there, and that is what keeps you going. So thank you, Louis.
You know, we're going to... Go ahead.
I'm going to cry, but like, I really appreciate you. So I'm sorry. I don't geek out normally, but like, you just do something to my heart.
Oh, Dee Dee, you're my spirit animal.
I love Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Dee Dee, I love you. That's a really great example that, you know, happens to me in airports. It happens to me on radio. It happens to me, the strangest thing, it could be a guy who's a businessman executive, and he won't do what that happened, but he'll come over, squeeze my arm or get my attention and go, "Oh man, I just love that Baskets." And then it'll just go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
just it's just a true acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing to do in an airport is when I'm walking down the thing, just to go, "Chip! Chip! Chip!" And then people whip around. And then I whip around. Chip!
Louis, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you have touched so many people with your stand-up, with your books. We were talking about a lot off-air, and obviously with the TV show. I mean, you're nowhere near stopping either, right? You're going to keep on going.
And I just did 5 episodes of a show called Search Party.
Oh, I love Search Party.
Oh, yeah.
TBS.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Did 5 episodes of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's all give it up for the great Louis Anderson.
Thank you,
Louis.
Thank you. LouisAnderson.com.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Well, I'm sorry. Thanks, Omar. We're out of time now.
I love doing stories of animals, wild animals, killing tourists on safari, Kevin, because you have been there.
Yeah.
And you have seen how many there are and how people just thoughtlessly interact with them as if they're some sort of animatronic Disney animals.
Yeah, and I don't understand that because I was frightened out of my mind.
I would be too.
It was insane.
I don't understand. And we do stories from time to time about, you know, about tourists who see a moose and they walk up to it, like get right in its face to take a picture, not realizing that a moose can kill you. Well, this was the Kenya Wildlife Service reporting that two tourists from Taiwan this past Saturday evening were attacked. One of them was attacked, the other one seriously injured when they were too close to a hippopotamus trying to take a photo. You see these hippos hanging around a lake and you go, I know what I'm going to do. It's like, I mean, they're killing machines.
Selfie!
Exactly. They're one of the most dangerous animals on the planet. And do you think I'm wrong, or do you think people just don't think stuff is real anymore?
I mean,
they see it on TV. And
they don't realize. Yeah, I don't know. There's something. There's a disconnect there between.
Yes.
Maybe they think they're in a zoo where it's safe.
Right.
I don't know.
It's kind of like, and we've talked about this before, too. It's kind of like if you've ever been in a situation, you're out pumping gas or something, and all of a sudden a gunfight breaks out across the street. So many people will just stand there and watch it because they're used to seeing something like that on television. They don't realize, hey, these are real bullets.
Yeah, I was sitting in a car, and there was a shootout at a gas station right next to me, and it did take me 4 or 5 seconds to realize, hey, bullets are flying and could hit me.
Well, hippos kill about 500 people in Africa every year, and they can run as fast as humans for short distances when they decide that they want to. So one dead, one injured by a hippo. You probably saw this story. I could have saved it for What's Up with Florida. It came out of Seminole County. This is a police chase where they run the car into a pasture. And the driver jumps out of the car and tries to get away. Now, there's a helicopter up above with a big light shining on the pasture. And then there's an officer on the ground. They are communicating with each other via the radio. And the woman did not expect who and how she was going to get captured.
Turning right onto Sipes, southbound Sipes Avenue. Oh, signal 4. Signal 4 at Sipes and Celery. Bail out. Okay, driver's bailing. Still got a passenger in the vehicle. South and east of you, actually, the large group of cows is following her for a good visual. Looks like they may attack her.
I'm on a true alert. I'm going to give you my flashlight. You can tell me where to go from here.
Keep going southeast. She's pretty far into the field now. If you see the large group of cows, they're literally following her and chasing her. All right, alert. We got her lit up.
Via video.
Why are cows chasing her?
Because
that's not a cow thing.
She's a stranger, I guess, in their pasture. They're like, hey, what's up? We live here, lady. And this video is amazing. It's like an Africa wildlife video because it's a herd of, I don't know, it looks like it's about 40 cows.
That's
and they
awesome.
Are just chasing her right up into the corner where she is arrested on the other side.
Pretty easy to see. There's just a bunch of cows chasing her.
She would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for those meddling cows. All right, here's some great news out of Topeka, Kansas. This poor family, the Nadeau family there in Topeka, their house exploded 3 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
I don't know if it was a gas thing or what, or there was a fire. I don't have the details there. But they had two cats in the house. One of them was named Kunumitsu, and the other one was named Mr. Tibbs. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Tibbs has not been located. But
okay.
3 weeks after the fire, as the crews were in bringing out the wreckage, clearing out the house so that they can start over, in a pipe they found Kunumitsu, who had been, I guess, stuck in the pipe. I don't know how a cat gets stuck in a pipe during an explosion, but she had apparently been in there for 3 weeks. She was very snug.
Holy crap.
Her fur was singed. Obviously, she had not eaten, yet she was alive. And they took her out, took her to the vet, and they're doing blood work on her liver because she went so far without, so long without food. But she seems to be all in one piece. And the family just cannot even believe that she not only survived that blast, but stayed alive 3 weeks. It's kind of like when you see these earthquake stories around the world where you're stunned that somebody is still alive under the wreckage when they're doing the recon weeks later.
Can you imagine the stink eye that cat was giving their owners after 3 weeks?
The worst.
Yeah, exactly.
Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Introducing rock and roll.
All right, Allie, what's this hot take that is destroying America?
Listen, this is a writer for Yahoo Entertainment. Her name is Gwen Watkins, and, I mean, I'll just let her tell you.
No, I want an official red undercover knife, so do you want to get ready my laser rifle?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
When A Christmas Story opened in theaters on November 18th, 1983, it was not one of the year's biggest films. Years later, that little movie looms large. You can buy leg lamps at any price point, tour Ralphie's actual house, watch the Broadway musical adaptation, and of course, spend 24 hours in front of the TV watching the annual Christmas Story Marathon. If you're a proud leg lamp-owning marathon watcher, I'm happy this movie makes you happy. But I'm here to tell you why A Christmas Story, despite its title, is a terrible Christmas movie.
Ugh. Oh. Imagine being stuck next to this woman on an airplane.
Oh, she's going to tell you why everything you love is hateable. Here are my reasons.
Now, I may have to recuse myself on this conversation because I am late to the Christmas Story game. In fact, I don't think I saw it ever for the first time until a couple of years ago.
Really?
And it was just because I felt like it was time. You know, I shouldn't go through my life without seeing that movie. And I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay, but you've seen it.
I've seen it now, and I enjoy it. I don't need it, but I have nothing against it. I thought it was a very well done, clever movie. Now, what can her possible complaint be about?
Well, she has five very specific reasons, and we're going to go through them. The first is she says A Christmas Story is all about consumerism.
Christmas is about Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah. She says most classic Christmas movies embrace the idea that Christmas means goodwill to all. Well, that's all well and good, but the premise of the movie is the kid wants his Red Ryder BB gun.
Also, Gwen, you moron. Yeah. The end of the movie, the dogs take all... I mean, it's not even a spoiler. The dogs ruin their Christmas dinner, and so the family goes out and eats at a restaurant, and it's this beautiful moment where a family who's had pretty bad luck throughout the whole movie gets together and still has the tradition of being with loved ones. Like, there is a message in this, you stupid moron, you troll, you Twitter egg.
Ugh. Well, okay.
Jensen is having none of it.
This movie's a national treasure.
It's an American classic. Totally agree. So Christmas being all about consumerism, newsflash, it is, Gwen. Yeah. It absolutely is.
What about the great Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Search for the Turbo Man toy? I mean, that was about consumerism.
Jingle All the Way. I like to call that a Sinbad movie, but yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, here's where she just loses me completely. Not like I was on board at all, but A Christmas Story is not especially about Christmas. Yes, it's set during the Christmas season, but mostly, then she goes on to say there's basically no plot, and she says... What it's all about? Well, a major theme is children in pain.
Idiot.
What? Are you because a kid licked a flagpole and got stuck there? That happened all the time because kids would dare each other and double dog ear dare you, and your tongue gets stuck to a flagpole.
Yeah.
By the way, that happened in the last 3 days in America. I don't know if you saw that.
It does. Yeah.
It just happened.
It always happens.
Yes.
It was a TV movie, by the way, originally. It was aired on TV to start. And one of the reasons it doesn't have a plot, it does have a plot, it's just in chapters because it's a book.
Right.
It's a book. Read a book, Gwen.
Okay.
By the way, aren't there a lot of people who poo-poo Christmas movies that aren't really Christmas movies?
Yeah, like Die Hard.
Like Die Hard is a perfect example. It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie either, by the way. It just happens to have a climactic last scene set at Christmas.
The ultimate Christmas movie. It is set during Christmas, and it's all about what he wants for Christmas.
Yeah. You see a Santa in it.
He goes to see Santa.
Yeah, at Macy's.
What is the... I always wanted to go to a Santa that had that slide.
Yeah, so it was cool. You got to see it. As an L.A. kid, I got to see it in Christmas Story. I was like, man, that is awesome.
Absolutely.
All right, so far you want Gwen in a grave.
Absolutely. Here's where she says, A Christmas Story has no Christmas spirit. The holiday spirit is about lowering defenses, being kind, feeling joy, and allowing yourself to believe, even for one night, that the world is good. A Christmas Story is about children in pain, making fun of people who are different, and learning that life is a series of crushing disappointments. Well, life is a series of crushing disappointments, Gwen. It doesn't matter if it's set during the summer or during Easter or during Christmas.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's not a movie about children in pain.
No.
What movie did she watch?
I mean, she seems to be referencing A Christmas Story. I think that was her takeaway from this film.
The kid got his tongue stuck to a flagpole.
This woman would say Forrest Gump is about running.
Or chocolate.
Or chocolate.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's so stupid.
All right. I just can't. The movie wants us to laugh at the misery of its characters.
Yes!
That's the point.
That's why I like it.
Because you're laughing at the kid that got his tongue stuck to the flagpole because it's funny. And you know what I learned from the movie? Not to stick my tongue to a flagpole.
Sure. Yeah.
You also laugh at his little brother that gets dressed up like anyone that lived in cold weather by your mother in 400 layers and he can't put my arms down.
It's great.
That's something you laugh at because you can relate to it.
By the way, the kids don't die. It's not Schindler's List.
No. Yeah. No,
so she would hate Home Alone because the kid got left behind when the parents went on vacation, right?
Yeah,
that would ruin the whole movie for her.
And adults got injured.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So we're saying that is not a hot take. Right?
Let me just tell you the worst one.
Okay.
A Christmas Story is nostalgic for all the wrong things. Ralphie is looking back on this story where his mom didn't get everything she wanted because it's the 1940s and no woman did. And the dad is angry all the time. And all he could do was beat up a guy and get a gun. What is wrong with you, woman? We can't go back in time and change women's societal roles in the 1940s. Everybody had an angry dad in the 40s. Hate to break it to you, Gwen. Maybe you didn't.
We had angry dads this year.
That's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, Gwen, stop crapping on things people like. Yeah. It's very easy just to let people live. Except for you. We want you in a box.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Allie, we're going to talk about your new hero down in Adelaide, Australia.
Oh, I love him so much.
Look. Mm. If you're going to walk your dog,
right?
You're responsible for your dog's poop.
Yes.
You don't just leave it wherever it lays.
No.
Or lies, whichever one is correct. You just don't. You have to pick it up. That's part of the deal. There are things you have to do when you have a dog. And one of the things you have to do is pick up after your dog.
Yes. Well, is there any question about this? I mean,
apparently there is with a lot of dog owners that are just awful garbage people.
I will tell you, there is no shortage of poop left around my neighborhood in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. People walk around, and it drives you crazy because you just hope that nobody sees you do it. Is that the goal? Is you hope to just get away with it? And you go, you can't track it back to me unless you're going to DNA that poop. You'll never prove it was my dog, right?
I think it's that, and it's also a weird entitlement. Like, oh, my dog needs to go. Not my problem.
Right.
No, just grab a bag. It's not
insane.
Hard.
Well, here's your hero, as I mentioned. He's in Adelaide. Let's hear the news report of what he has done to try to clamp down on this happening in his neighborhood.
And a fed-up dog owner is going to great lengths to catch out lazy dog walkers who leave their pooch's poop outside his home. He's posted video of one culprit online, hoping someone will recognize her and dob her in. Here's Mark Mooney.
Now, is this the story, Allie? I saw a couple of different poop stories. This isn't the guy who disguises himself in a bush, right, and shoots video as people. That was a different story, right?
No, I love him. No, this is just a guy that sets up a camera to his front lawn.
Like a home security. Like he's got his ring out showing the front of his house.
Right.
Okay.
We've all seen them, those dodgy dog owners who turn a blind eye when their precious pooches are doing their business. But
by the way, I love this reporter.
I mean, he's great.
He's great. The dodgy dog owners who turn a blind eye to their precious poops while they're doing their business. I mean, this guy is speaking poetry. He's too good for the news.
He's Edgar Allan Poop.
Nice.
Very nice. When the cat's away, puns.
Play.
For Steve Tamblyn, this unwelcome home delivery was the final straw.
That an unwelcome home delivery is how he describes the puppy excrement, by the way, that ended up in front of this guy's house.
That's what my fiance calls me every time
Fed
I come
up
home.
With having to pick up after neglectful neighbors, he decided to catch them in the act. And on Monday morning came his maiden victory. Crystal clear security video of a golden retriever stopping and squatting for a toilet break at the front of his house.
Now, this lady, you've seen the video, right, Allie?
Of course.
This lady is just walking her big old golden retriever, and she stops, and he takes an enormous poop, and she never even looks around or even thinks about it or reaches for it. I mean, he's done.
she just pulls the leash and they just walk out of the frame.
Because like this was, if I were to do this, just to let you know, if I were to do this, I would at least pretend, do the old fake out. Just, oh, got a bag, lean down, pretend to pick it up, and then walk away. Almost the bags in your hand can't notice. Like, you don't even do that.
Or reach, you know, start going into your pockets and into your coat and going, oh, man, and then put your hands up in the air. Oh, I forgot a bag.
Yeah, do some poo diligence on this, right?
5 hours later, you come back. Got it.
We're not going to forget you said poo diligence, by the way, Allie. All right, let's go back to the news.
After 10 seconds of serious business, the dog walks on. And so does its owner.
By the way, 10 seconds of serious business for real. I mean, this dog was building a mountain. I mean, it was shameful that they were willing to leave that in front of this poor guy's house.
When we went through the CCTV footage and located the culprit, I did have a gotcha moment.
He uploaded the video to Facebook in the hope someone would recognize the woman and give her a friendly reminder to come back and clean up. But Steve still wasn't satisfied, so he stuck a photo of the culprits next to the offending deposit.
I love this.
It's great.
Now, so he puts it up on Facebook, I guess. Probably a lot of people in the neighborhood or, you know, in that circle or whatever. You would think that somebody would see that and they would call this monster out, I think, right?
You would think, yeah.
That didn't happen. So he leaves the poop there in his yard and then prints out a photo still from the video and puts it right there by the poop to make sure everybody knows who's the owner and who's the dog.
Like it's running for mayor.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
The video's already had thousands of views, but the woman's identity remains a mystery.
So I don't know whether she's seen it and decided to take an alternate route with her walks. But
she might have sold the house and moved out.
She may well have cleared out of the suburb completely.
I love everybody who works on this newscast. I love the newscaster back in the studio. I love the reporter on the street. I love the dog poop shamer. He's hilarious. This is a delightful neighborhood, you guys.
Yeah, this is like your favorite director. What's his name? The guy who does Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yes. He's from New Zealand.
Yeah,
but
this is
basically
the exact same script.
Same thing, absolutely.
Yeah, all Australians are the same to me. New Zealand, same thing. All the same.
Yeah. Neighbors are full of praise for their local pet detective.
I love it.
All right, I love this woman so much. She's so delighted by what's going on with trying to track down this mystery pooper.
I see it every day, and I think, well, look at the size of that jobby there, you know? It's a lot of poop.
Failing to pick up after your dog around here attracts a...
What do you think the fine is, you guys, for being caught not picking up after your dog?
You
got to
eat
neighborhood.
It. You got to eat it.
Well, no, there's
that
actually
sounds gross.
There's actually a monetary fee.
$200.
Congrats.
All right.
Failing to pick up after your dog around here attracts a $210 fine, but Steve Tamblyn hopes the threat of a public shaming will provide an extra deterrent.
I know that most people would never go to the lengths that he did, but God bless Steve Tamblyn, right?
Agreed.
Hero, you guys.
You're not doing good so far.
So far.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
You're not doing good.
On K-Rock.
K-Rock.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Are you suggesting that sometimes I try to clarify a story by pulling out an example
Yes.
that will illustrate the point I'm trying to make?
Right.
And it's not always useful?
Sometimes it's horrible and funny as hell.
Yes.
The first one is Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. We were talking about him kneeling, and Bean was saying that a Green Beret or some Green Berets told him that that's how he should do it. And Bean wanted to make sure that everybody understood, so he gave several different examples that I think were fantastic.
That's what the recommendation from the Green Beret was to Colin Kaepernick, which is why he decided to make that his thing rather than fart at the flag or put up, you know, to flip off the flag or drop
That's
his pants.
Great example. Fart at the flag.
No, what I'm saying is there are a lot of ways that he could have openly been disrespectful.
Do you think he ever considered farting
at the flag? I don't know where that came from.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I'm just now, trying, wait. I'm just trying to figure out how that would work. Because the flag's a long way away. I mean,
it is.
Just in its general direction.
Are you carpet dusting the whole place, hoping to get the flag?
Now, I don't have to take it back or anything, right?
No,
That's not what this is. Okay, good.
We're all laughing together.
I see. We're all having a good time. Okay.
So Bean's been talking for a long time about wanting to play the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants that.
Well, I'm a euchre now.
Sure. Define a euchre, then.
A person who plays the ukulele.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this was his original thing where he was telling us how great it will be when he gets a ukulele.
Well, for instance, let's say I'm on a plane then,
okay.
And the pilot comes on and goes, excuse me, pastor, sorry to interrupt your movie, but is there anyone on the plane who plays the ukulele?
Boom! Right?
I'm the guy!
That's probably happened to me 10 times.
It's a great example.
He's Mr. Bad Example!
I'm not sure why I thought that would ever happen.
It's like a pilot would say that. You're like, me! I'm your guy. We were talking about Oprah possibly running for president, and Bean suggested that she stay away from controversial issues.
Oprah is setting the stage to run for president in 2020. She can't appear to be out of touch by selling, you know, $3,000 toilet water in a bottle or something like that. She's trying to reach the regular person.
It's a great example, though.
A lot of people buying toilet water
in a bottle. Absolutely.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
How does that come to your head? How do you think about that?
Allie, you know more about perfume than I do.
You were thinking of Eau de Toilette.
Yes.
Yeah,
isn't that toilet water?
No. No.
Well, what is it? What's Eau de Toilette?
It's not toilet water.
And it shouldn't cost $3,000 either.
It shouldn't.
Next, we were talking about Jensen and Danielle's wedding. And Jensen is a friend of John Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sort of telling you that he played at their wedding, and then Bean had an interesting response.
That's what the recommendation from the Green Beret was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I played that again. Hold 1 second, please.
Okay.
It's good radio. Before the first dance, John Mayer walked by, grabbed his guitar.
Sure. Yep.
And started singing while they danced.
Their first dance.
Yes.
What is Jensen, like the Sultan of Brunei?
I don't know.
That's a great poll, too. Great example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Now, why is that a bad example? The Sultan of Brunei is, historically, the richest person in the world. That's the person who could afford to hire a megastar play a reception.
Couldn't you go Bill Gates or something?
He's wealthy. It might have been a reference that would have connected with more people.
Sure.
I'm saying my reference wasn't wrong. It maybe just didn't include... Maybe a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Now we're talking about how long it takes to determine the cause of death in certain situations. And Bean has an example of that.
Look, it has to do with how you go. I mean, if you fall into a volcano, Allie, we don't need a week to determine you're dead, okay? It all depends on the circumstances.
Great example, though, because people are they're falling into, you know, volcanoes all the time.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
How many of these do we have?
Wait, just one more. Why would you say, let's say you fell into a volcano. Like, that's your first and only example.
Okay, here's the only thing I can guess.
Okay.
With the timing of that one, is we just had Phil Kogan on, who was doing a show for National Geographic where he literally climbed down into a volcano.
Yeah. This was weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
This was long before that.
All right. I didn't know that.
All right. Here's the final one. We were talking about people using the wrong products on accident. And being what this may be one of his best.
I think it would be interesting to hear from our listeners who have had similar experiences where they thought they were using one product and it turned out to be something else. And by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be something like these two examples of the body. It could be like you were trying to pour
Marking it. You're about to nail it. Keep going.
You think you're pouring cement and it's actually flour.
Wait, what? Hold on. Just accept greatness. I need a diagram.
My point is that some things look alike.
Wait.
You're just, you know, using a cement mixer.
An example, right.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Come on. Maybe you get it mixed up. You know, cement looks like flour.
It could happen.
It could.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Just not funny.
K-Rock.